The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, this is Daryl Banks, co-creator of Green Lantern Kyle Rayner, and you're listening to the PVD Cast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 291. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode. Just giving you a little behind-the-scenes commentary here. It is storming like you wouldn't believe this morning here in Columbus, Ohio, so hopefully you won't hear any thunder and hopefully the lights stay on because it's pretty wicked looking out there. But you know what? You didn't tune in to listen to me comment on the weather. You tuned in to hear my conversation with actor Josh Schubart. Now, Josh not only is an actor, but he also has his own production company. He's a plus-size male model. He's a stunt performer. He wears many, many hats. And I had the pleasure of sitting down with Josh last week to talk about his career. And Josh had a lot of obstacles placed before him, not just in his acting career, but in life in general. And his story is one that is very uplifting, albeit it starts off kind of dark. I'm not going to lie to you. But Josh has overcome all of his hurdles, all of the trials and tribulations that have been placed before him to become a very successful actor. And you know, very successful basically at anything that he does, to be bluntly honest. So I had a great time talking to Josh, and we're going to get to that conversation right after I remind you about an excellent sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. They got everything that you need for your comic book fandom. And trust me, as you're going to find out here, Josh would appreciate World's Greatest Comics because he's a huge comic book fan just like I am. But they got it all. They got single issues, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Basically, they got everything that you need. So if you happen to be in the Central Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're out of the area, you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com. And they're even on Facebook. Just search for @WGComics. And please do me the favor that if you interact with anybody in person or via the internet, please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, right here on the PVD Cast. All right, with that being said, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with actor Josh Schubart. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me this evening is Mr. Josh Schubart. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. I'm doing pretty good. I'm happy to be here. Can't complain.
Ah, how is life in New York City right now?
Life's pretty good. I mean, it's coming back online. Everything's coming back to normal and people are outside. It's nice. It feels good. How is everything in Ohio?
It's good here too. You know, our cases are really super low. We haven't had a death in a long time.
And fantastic.
I don't know when, so things are getting... It's weird though, because I went to dinner with some friends for the first time since the pandemic started.
Yeah.
And it was weird to be out without a mask because we've canceled all of our mask mandates and everything. And it's kind of just up to the individual establishments. And it was kind of weird, and I didn't anticipate that it was going to be that way.
Yeah, it's a little weird at first. I mean, I got my vaccination pretty early, but it was kind of weird still, like even post-vaccine, just because you're so used to just like keeping a mask on and not speaking to anybody and like not being at all social. So I had to kind of learn how to like be a fucking person again. It's really weird. You know, like just like having a conversation, like, oh, you want pizza? I don't know. What do people eat? All right, see you later. You know, like it was just like that.
Yeah, well, we'll get back in it. It's like riding a bicycle, right? You never forget.
Right, exactly.
So let's talk a little bit before we get into all of your different acting gigs that you have going on, all the new things that are coming down the pipe for you and whatnot. Let's back up here because on your website, you start off by talking that you had kind of a rough childhood. So do you mind sharing with us your rough childhood and how you overcame that obstacle and whatnot?
Sure. I had kind of a rough growing up period. My biological mother was bipolar and an addict. And in the 80s, 90s, mental health wasn't really taken as seriously as it is now. She didn't get the help that she needed and it wasn't managed properly. And she loved me very much, but she wasn't able to take care of me. And my biological father bounced when I was around 4 years old. As a result, I moved around a lot. I hopped around with other members of my family or close family friends and things like that until I eventually ended up homeless for a while, for a period of like 3.5 years, from, you know, age 11 to 13 or so. And I ended up living in a clock tower when it was cold, and I lived in a park slide when it was warm. But I was still going to school because I knew that was my only way out of this fucking life, was to educate and get the fuck out. Wash myself when I could. I was pretty smelly and I was constantly told that I was, but there was nothing that I could do about it. And then when I was 14 years old, I got into foster care. It's this thing called kinship foster care. So that's when like your biological whomever becomes your foster parent. So my aunt and uncle took me in and saved my life and took me off the streets. And that's when I found acting, because they enrolled me in a Catholic school, which was needless to say, fucking crazy after coming off the streets.
That was culture shock.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a, like, you know, I went from like not knowing when I was going to eat again to like, oh, I'm in a uniform and there are all these rules and what the actual fuck. And when I got into foster care, I was like an after school special, basically, like hanging out with the wrong people. I was doing a lot of drugs myself and just making a lot of poor decisions. And I also had a trauma induced speech impediment. I had an awful, awful fucking stutter, where I couldn't speak more than two to three words at a time. I was crazy. And then for whatever reason, I heard the announcement for the school play and I went to the auditions. And when I walked up there, I could speak in complete sentences for the first time since I was like 5 or 6 years old. And I knew what I wanted to do with the rest of my life in that moment. Like, it was like I was hit by fucking lightning, and I quit all the awful crap that I was doing to myself, and it gave me like a real drive and an incredible focus. And acting saved my life too in a very big way. It turned me into the person that I am today.
From 11 to 13, you were on the streets homeless. Like,
yeah,
that had to be terrifying at times.
It was very, very hard, and it was very, very, very scary. I mean, I was in a constant survival place just to find food. You know, like when I wasn't eating at school, I would go eat out of dumpsters. I would get into fights with like other homeless folks to kind of like win a piece of the land, basically, where you could come back to whenever you know. So it was fucking weird. It's a weird time.
And you don't have to answer this. Did anything bad happen to you? Were you ever mugged or anything like that?
Well, yeah. I mean, it was like generally like a bad time. Like I got beaten up. I had to beat other people up. I've been robbed. I had to rob other people. Like it wasn't a positive time. I mean, you clicked up with people that you could kind of like be with and like be around and things like that, like just so that you could keep safe. But yeah, I mean, it was strange and awkward and very animalistic is the way that I kind of describe it whenever I have a conversation about it.
I don't know what to say, Josh. That's just an amazing story. It's a heartbreaking story. It's got all the emotions in it, man.
It is a heartbreaking story, and it is crazy, and I know that it's hard to hear, but, you know, it's what made me who I am now, and there are tons of kids in the United States that is happening to them right now, too. So, I mean, any opportunity that I can to speak about it only brings awareness to it and will hopefully help in ending it, because it's a wild time and no kid should have to, you know, come up that way.
You said that, you know, you found acting and that helped to, you know, motivate you to do better. So how long did it take you to kind of get into that groove? Like by the time by the time it was graduation time, did you feel confident that you knew you were going to go into acting and that that's what you wanted to do and that your life had turned itself around?
So I suppose I hit my groove junior year. So about a year later, it was pretty easy in a sense, not easy. I'm using quote, patient fingers for the audience who can't see me. But once you get put into a much more like loving home environment, things do change for the better pretty rapidly, like especially when you have the appropriate support. So my parents were all about me getting into therapy and like doing everything that I needed to do to like return to a quote unquote normal place. Like, I don't know if I'll ever be 100% normal, but I'm pretty well adjusted. And the way that I operate in life is extremely positive. So that's good. And I credit that to them and their care. I mean, that's what, you know, people need. And once they have it, and then things get better. But I had a lot of weird shit happen to me when I got into the house. Like, because I had food instability, all I would do was eat because it was there. And I had this thing in my brain that I was never going to eat again. So I ballooned up to like 400 pounds in a year. Once I got that under control by speaking like to people and like going to lots of therapy and like totally understanding that I was going to be able to eat, like the food is there now. It's not going anywhere. Then I was able to like not eat as much and begin exercising, which also helped me from then to even now my entire life with my mental health. So yeah, like things turned for the better. That's a long way for me to answer that question, I guess.
Well, you went on to go to Stony Brook University. When you got there, were you absolutely dead set on acting and drama? Or were thinking about some other things?
No, not at all. Yeah, I knew pretty much right away. Like from like it's kind of like exactly like I said it. Like once it was in my life, I was like, this is what I have to do. So I've never had a plan B. I never had like a backup plan or like some other type of major. This is a thing that I had to do. It was like boom or bust, and thank God I didn't bust. So,
What was your first acting gig or your first role that you had?
Right. So my first,
post-college.
Oh, okay. So my first professional role was actually while I was in college. But if you want to, I did like touring Shakespeare festivals. But out of college, like when I got home from Florida, when I left my master's program, was a TV show called Monsters Inside Me on Animal Planet. And it's a reenactment show about people that get like parasites and crap in their body. And it was a terrible experience, but at the time it was the most incredible experience because I didn't know any better. And I had booked my first TV show and I was so fucking excited that I didn't realize that like looking into a mirror while a PA sprays blood into your eye for an hour and a half isn't really awesome. But at the time it felt really awesome. Yeah, because I was playing a guy that had an tapeworm in his eyeball.
Ooh, that is disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Oh. But it's all like based on actual people's lives. So yeah.
I think that's what makes it worse.
Yeah, no.
I mean, if it was total fiction, I'd be like, that's gross. And okay. But the fact that it's based on a true story,
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. And then I did a couple more reenactment shows after that. And then once I had those under my belt, I was like, I don't need to do reenactment shows anymore. And I just kind of moved on from there.
Mm-hmm. And let's talk about some of your roles that you've had. You've appeared on HBO's High Maintenance. Yeah. You've been on Netflix's 7 Seconds and mm-hmm. Amazon's The Tick.
Hell yeah.
Which I have just the biggest question about The Tick is I think that The Tick is such a underground cult-like superhero for many sure. comic book fans. Do you agree with that statement?
I love The Tick. He's one of my favorite superheroes. So for me, he's not a cult. To me, he's mainstream. But yes, in the grand world of nerddom, the Tick is considered, you know, niche or underground or, you know, but our fan base, because I can say our now, which is wild to me, is so strong and so loud and so beautiful. And I'm so lucky to be a part of this new generation of this show. It feels so great.
So let's compare from your first gig to your most recent stuff. Let's pick, maybe I'll just pick 7 Seconds from Netflix. Can sure. you compare the experiences? Because you said, you know, right off the bat, your very first reenactment show wasn't that great, but yeah. you didn't know any better. Now that you've had a few more, you know, roles under your belt, how is it now?
Now it's incredible. I mean, and I'm in the union, so that changes a lot of everything. So in the beginning of my, like, professional career, I was not in the union and everything was bad and you had to bring your own wardrobe and do your own makeup and you didn't know when you were going to eat and you usually worked for like 18 hours in a row and you got paid like $125. Whereas, you know, with union work, you're taken care of and there's meal breaks and there's a set rate that's really good and you get residuals and, you know, and everything is much, much better. And that's where you want to end up being ultimately. Yeah. I mean, it's just like any other industry. You climb the ladder up to where you want to get to and hope to God that you do. But a lot of like hard work and learning and trying to understand how everything operates can make that happen for sure.
Did you have a mentor? Did you have somebody that says, hey, this Josh guy, he's a nice dude. I'm going to take him under my wing. Was there anybody like that to help you along?
No, not really. I mean, I asked a lot of questions, but I did a lot of background work in the beginning of my career. Just because I had only done like classical theater. That was like what I thought I would be doing. And I didn't know how to be on a set, but I knew that I liked movies. And when I came back to New York, it was here. Like all the TV and film tax credits were here. And I was like, all right, let's check it out. Let's see what I can learn. So I did a lot of background work. And then I was a stand-in for like a bunch of famous people for a couple of years. And I just learned how to hit my mark and how to be in frame and what it was like to be a TV and film actor. And then just a lot of practice on my own and a lot of independent classes in New York City. And I just kind of learned how to translate everything to the camera.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about another skill that you have that I find to be very interesting. You have training as a stuntman?
I do. So I'm not 100% trained. Like I don't do high falls. And I don't light myself on fire. Those people are incredible. And I've watched them do that work. And holy hell, it's so scary to watch, but it's so cool.
Wait a minute. I'm going to interrupt for a minute. Because when you said that, I'm like, oh shit. You mean they just don't do it all? Like, I just figured as a stunt person, you could wreck a car. You could jump off a building. You could do all the stuff. But I guess I never thought that it's actually very categorized, I suppose.
It's very, very specialized. And okay. And the men and women that do all the crazy stunts, I tip my hat to them. They're things that I could never do. And it's also things that I'm not allowed to do as per the union. So that's why they exist, is because they're there because they're extremely specialized. And like an actor kind of like should be able to do like a little bit of everything. But that being said, I am trained in every bladed weapon, most guns, hand to hand. I can get hit by cars. I can do like car crazy shit. So I can do most of it. I just don't do the, like, I'm like, I won't get like thrown through a brick wall. Like, I won't do that crazy magical stuff. I'm too much of a wussy for that. But
have you ever gotten hurt?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was a dumb question, wasn't it?
No, it's not a dumb question. You know, like, it's when people are like, so what about wrestling? Is that fake? It's like, maybe like how they construct the whole like plot line is kind of fake, quote unquote, but the action, no, like they're getting hurt and it's the exact same stuff. You don't want to get hurt. That's not the goal, but sometimes you might land weird or something might go wrong, or you're doing a crazy sword fight and you get stabbed a lot, because that's happened to me a lot of times where I've gotten stabbed the fuck out of myself, which was not great. Or you get headbutted in your nose and your nose breaks or something like that happens.
So stabbing's probably the worst injury you've had while doing stunt work?
Yeah, that's the worst I've had. Like, I've pulled a shoulder, sprained an ankle, but as for, like, I guess pain level, getting stabbed definitely was the worst one.
Are you ever scared? How do you have nerves of steel to be like, okay, we're going to do this. I'm fighting with sharp swords, but that's okay. Like, can you walk us through the mindset that you have right before scene? Yeah,
I mean, it's you and another professional that knows what they're doing, and you practice it over and over and over and over again. So the idea of it is that it looks really, really fucking crazy and really, really dangerous, but it's very, very choreographed and it's very, very carefully placed and done. And most of it's a lot of camera angles and things like that. And then it's our job to just act it and make it look like it hurts or make it look, you know, right. So, but also like I said, I don't do high falls. I don't let myself on fire. So I can only imagine that it's like every time they're like, okay, gonna jump off this 19 like story high building now, you know, I can't imagine that it's like, oh, fuck yeah. You know, like every time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess you're right on that. I just, when I read that, I was like, I have so many questions, you know, because, you know, it's one thing to just, you know, to sit as a fan of movies and go, oh, that was a great fight scene. And to not really think that somebody got jacked up maybe that day, you know, by an errant kick or errant elbow or something like that, you know?
It is possible, but that's not, obviously that's not what you want. You want everybody to just have a really good, really, really amazingly safe day and then come back again tomorrow and do another crazy fight scene.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Josh for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. It's the one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. and they're a proud sponsor of the PVD cast. So if you'd like to check them out, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can check them out online. They got a great website. It's wgcomics.com, and they have a great Facebook page as well. Just search for @WGComics. And if you interact with anyone from the store, please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD cast.
Well, let's switch gears and talk about your production company. It's called Two Ladies and a Giant.
Correct.
So you want to talk to us as to why you decided to start your own production company and talk about some of the projects that are connected to that production company?
Sure. So I wanted to get into filmmaking because I, for most of my career, I have played like the oafish moron comedy guy or the big guy that's going to punch you in the face or something like that. I am a very large person. You don't know that kind of looking at me through the computer, but I was out yesterday and this just happened and it happens all the time. A person, a very hammered person, came up to me and took a picture with me because I was so big, because I'm so big, because I'm tall and I'm very muscular and I'm very broad, and people get either excited about that or they get mad at me because I exist and they try to fight me anyway. So I mean, that's just kind of fresh, you know, because it happened to, because it hasn't happened for about a year and a half, and I went out and it happened and I was like, oh, okay, I guess we're back to normal anyway. So I'm not just one thing, just like nobody's not just one thing. And unless it's a very specific situation in a very specific movie for a very specific thing, a larger guy has not usually been allowed to have a full range of human emotions and be able to interact with anything in a real human way. So I wanted to be able to create stuff for people that are like me or feel like me, that maybe haven't like seen themselves properly represented before. So I made, and I also wanted to work with women and people of color and Black people and everyone that I could, because those people are some of my closest friends. And coming up in my life, the people that helped me the most were Black, were gay, were not white, or men. So I was hoping to try and give back using art in like any way that I could to as many people as I could. And that's why I made the production company. And I asked two incredible, incredible women, Olivia Baptista and Tegan Kuritz, if they would make movies and TV shows with me. And they said yes. And they're both in LA now and they're incredible. And we have a show called After, which is new and out on a new streaming service called IFT Network.
Can you tell us a little bit about the show After?
Sure. So After is about a guy who loses his wife and has to move back home with his parents on Long Island. And his parents and best friend try and like push him back out into the world to like help him become more normal and to get back out into the ring kind of romantically again.
So you said, could you repeat where that's at? What streaming service again?
Oh yeah. So IFT Network.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So people should check that out if it's available. Absolutely. On Apple TV and Roku as well. Is there any other projects coming up with your production company?
We are in talks for a new feature film. I can't, there's nothing like set in stone at the moment. Well, there was like a really great reading of it last week. So there's a lot of buzz on it now. It's called We Got What You Need. And it's a movie about a independent comic book creator who works overnights at a gas station, and it deals with like the mentality of being sleep deprived. And when the main character hallucinates, he hallucinates in comic book and animation panels, and like the world turns into animation, and that's how he interacts with things from time to time. And then it also deals with like trans issues, homelessness, and millennial life in the way that most millennials and moving on down can't move on with their lives. They just can't afford it. They don't have the money, or they have like crushing loan debt, and they're just caught in this awful fucking cycle. And it's kind of like, where's the American dream? What's the new American dream? And how do we arrive there together? And it's a comedy.
I thought it was somewhat cool that you're also a plus size model, that you've done plus size modeling in the past. Can you talk a little bit about how you got in that industry?
So that was a total accident, man. So it's not a thing that I thought would even be a part of my life, because I am, you know, I'm a larger dude, and I'm like, all right, I'm not a model. But then this thing, it's this classification called brawn modeling, which means large men with beards. And that's exactly what I am. And what's really cool is that I'm being able to be the person in clothing that I never got to see, that I never knew what to wear. And it's still hard for me to know what to wear. Shit just doesn't fit my body right. Either it fits my chest, but it's too short for my arms, everything. Like, I've got very large, interesting proportions, and most places don't make clothes for me. So to be able to work with companies that do is very, very rewarding, because they've told me that like men like me will bring in my ads to the store, and they'll go like, I want to look like Josh. Like, I've never seen a person like him. Like, I want to wear these clothes. And that's awesome, because I always felt like a weird giant freak that couldn't wear anything, you know, for my whole life. So I just think that that's really special.
Are you still doing that, or is it something that maybe you've had to push to the back burner, so to speak, because of your other projects and whatnot?
I'm still doing it. My agent is actually, she emailed me about two or three hours ago. She's in negotiations with another brand. So
okay. Cool. Cool. Yeah, that's cool, man. That's cool. Well, I know folks can't see your office, but it is adorned with lots of great comic book art.
Yeah.
You're a big comic book fan?
Huge comic book fan. Yeah. Since I was a kid. So I actually found comic books because of The Tick. I was able to watch the like animated series in the 90s. And I remember that, you know, coming up the way that I did and just like who I was as a person, I always felt weird and like I didn't have a place where I could exist or like anything like that. And I remember watching The Tick, and everyone on that show was weird and everything fucked up and strange, but there was an overwhelming sense of hope and love. Even the bad guys loved each other, and it was fantastic just how everyone just kind of was there for one another. And then I was like, what is this? Is this a comic book? And I remember I walked into like the local comic book store, and I was like, oh, there's The Tick. And then I was like, oh, what's this dude? And it turned out it was Batman. And then I found the X-Men and Spider-Man and just everything else that I love. And so it was like a cartoon that I watched every once in a while whenever I could. Led me into the world of comics. I love comics.
So are some of your favorites Spider-Man, Batman, and the X-Men, or were those just a couple of examples that you were giving? Who are your favorites?
Okay, so a couple of my favorites are Wolverine. Like, he's one of my, I love that dude. But my all-time favorite, other than The Tick, is Venom. I love Venom forever. Like, I just love him as a character. I love that his it's always such a struggle because there's two of them that just to do the right thing, it's always such a fucking problem. And that's what life is like. It's like you trying to figure out what to do or how to make the right choice is just so fucking relatable. And yeah, and I love Venom. What about you, man?
Real quickly, before we get to my favorites, I have to ask, what was your opinion on the Venom movie from a few years ago?
Okay, I did not like it very much. I like Tom Hardy's performance. I think he's going to continue to be a wonderful Venom. I understand what they were trying to do. They were trying to infuse comedy and like be on like on the same board like with the other Marvel movies and things of that nature. But because they didn't have Spider-Man and they couldn't do a true origin story and they had to pull a comic book run from like way, way, way into the series, you know, like unless you are a hardcore fan the way that I am, even like you don't know that there's an entire planet of symbiote suits that this is what they do and they just like eat worlds. There was no like build up, you know, to what it's supposed to be. And like it got totally ruined in like Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire, like just how, and it really needed like a really good, really meaty, really dark origin story, and we like halfway got it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've watched it more than once, and I will watch it again because I am a fan, and it was done pretty well. But I'm interested to see what they're gonna do with the next one because they're bringing in Carnage. So I would probably give it like a 3.5 stars out of 5, but it didn't like blow my asshole open or anything.
I agree with you. I gave it a C. I was like, it wasn't great, but it wasn't terrible. And there was a lot of problems with it. And see, I feel the same way to answer your question. One of my favorites, it was the first comic book I ever collected, was G.I. Joe, the Marvel run. So, when you talk about G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, I was very excited for that movie and I was totally let down.
A bad one too.
Oh my God. I blew a gasket. I can't believe I didn't like burst out and start cursing at the screen and be asked to leave the theater because it was just so wretched. But G.I. Joe, I'm a big fan of anything Garth Ennis touches. The Boys, Preacher, Hellblazer, his run on Hellblazer, his World War II stuff. Love Garth Ennis. Like he's anything he writes, I'll pick up and read. I'm obviously a Deadpool fan from way back in the day.
Sure.
And I like The Punisher because I find this idea of revenge and vengeance to be very interesting. I find that inner turmoil of, well, is it really going to solve anything? Or is it going to solve things? Are you going to feel better when you blow away a whole, you know, restaurant full of mafia guys? You know what I mean? Like, right. I find that interesting. Garth Ennis had a great run on that book, too.
Yeah, antiheroes, man. They are very fun and very interesting because they're able to ask a lot of questions that aren't asked in most other books. And mm-hmm. also, like, other movies or, like, even life. But that's what's been great about comics since Marvel came along is that they've always been on the like cutting edge of like every type of conversation and like every kind of issue. And it's been an important catalyst for change throughout the years. Even if people didn't realize where it was coming from, a lot of it came like, think about the X-Men, you know, just think about everything that they were doing and everything that they were speaking about in the beginning. And it was just an incredible, you know, and it's an incredible way to introduce these thoughts and ideas to an entire generation of people. Yeah, I love comics, man. They're so great.
All right. Well, one of the final things I wanted to ask you about.
Sure.
Is on your website, you say your dream is to work with Taika Waititi.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, let's say, pretend, you get that opportunity. You get to work with Tycho. What Marvel project are you going to be working on with Tycho? And the only rule is it can't be something that's already done.
Oh, sure.
What hero would you pick or heroine would you pick? What team would you pick? Whatever. What comic book movie are you working on with Tycho Watiti?
Well, I would like to be in the Fantastic Four that is currently coming up, and I'd like to play Ben Grimm, aka the Thing. I really connect with him because he is a very large man who has very complex emotions, and when he's done right, like in the really good runs, he's more than just like a meathead guy. You know, like he's very interesting where like he is going through like, you know, am I a monster? Like, what am I? And I can really connect with that really, really, really well. And I'd love to play that character. If it was like more down the line, because that's what I've really been thinking about is where are we going right now? So we've got the Eternals, and do you think, and we're doing the Sacred Timeline right now with Loki. I already know that they're bringing in Namor for Black Panther 2, so I can't do that. I'm gonna just do what I said.
Okay, that'll work. We'll go with that. We'll go with that. I know I put you on the spot. You weren't ready for that one. But we'll go with the Thing. I hope that they finally get, and I think they will, finally get a good Fantastic Four movie.
I think they will, yeah.
Yeah, because the first one I thought was okay. Second one was not very good. I never bothered with the third one where I think it was Michael B. Jordan was in that one. I did not even bother watching it. I was like, I'll pass.
It was okay. It was okay. Like, it was the way that they did Doctor Doom was ridiculous. The way that they handled it wasn't that great.
You changed your mind in mid-sentence.
I remember just being like mad the whole time. I was okay with how they did Ben, but it was like they made him this like humongous mountain of like rock freak thing where it was like the humanity was very hard to find, and especially when you're trying to like do a monster with a brain like the way that we've had the Hulk or like any of, or basically when you're trying to make a Frankenstein's monster and you take away the humanity from the monster, then you failed. I think that's what happened.
All right. Well, Josh, let's start wrapping things up here. You want to talk about any upcoming projects, website, social media, where folks can keep tabs on you?
Sure. So my website's joshuashubart.com. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Josh_Schubart. I'm also an audiobook narrator, so I've got tons of audiobooks coming out all the time. That's pretty new. That's a pandemic special, actually. Because I had to pivot.
Hey, I like that marketing. Yeah. I like that marketing. That was good.
So turns out that's a lot of fun. I made a broadcast quality audio booth in my office here, so I've been doing a lot of animation and a lot of other great acting work, and I've been doing a lot of audiobooks, so tons of those are out, and they'll be coming out more and more over the year, and into next year too. So nothing new really, really soon for like TV and film. Modeling coming at the end of July, audiobook, new ones coming out in a week, and then there'll be more coming out like once a month for the rest of the year. So that's what's new.
So best place to go is your website then, just to keep tabs probably. Is that the like the one-stop shop for everything?
It would probably be Twitter, actually. Okay. I'm very active on Twitter. It's not that I don't like my website, but it's like a place where you like land and you can like go to my IMDb page and watch my and then watch all my reels. But Twitter is where I kind of am doing lots of interacting with people and making announcements all the time.
Okay. So again, that's Josh_Schubart, spelled S-C-H-U-B-A-R-T, correct?
That is correct.
Hey, what can I say? I do a lot of good homework for this podcast. All right, with that, Josh Schubart, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to chat with us.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was great.
You're quite welcome. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, my conversation with Josh Schubart. Man, what a tale Josh has to tell. And, you know, I guess it just goes to show you that no matter what obstacles are placed in front of you, with the right mindset, the right attitude, you can achieve whatever you put your mind to. And thank you again, Josh, for coming on and sharing your story and talking with me on this episode of the PVD Cast. So now is probably the time where I should let you know where you can get in touch with me if you have a question, a comment, or anything about this episode or any episode for that matter. You can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. It's @PVDcast. And if you want to shoot me an email, you can. johnorlando@PVDcast.com is my email address. Now, if you want to let folks know where they can hear the PVD Cast, well, there's a lot of different places you can do that. Probably the easiest is just to go to PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But this podcast is also available through all of those major podcasting platforms. If in doubt, just go to the search bar in your favorite podcasting platform, type in PVD Cast. Sometimes you have to put PVD Cast John Orlando. I don't know why. It's just some technical thing. I don't know. I'm not a computer expert. But nonetheless, PVD Cast or PVD Cast John Orlando in the search bar, and you should be able to find it. And please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Rating and reviewing an episode helps me out in the algorithm. And of course, subscribing means that you never miss an episode of the PVD Cast. But you know what? I have one other avenue where you can hear the PVD Cast, and that's through the weekly Facebook broadcast that I do each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can just go over to the Facebook page, and once again, that's @PVDcast. Mondays at 8 p.m., and I share that week's episode with you. And I try to be a little interactive during these broadcasts, answering questions and taking comments through the Facebook page. And once again, that's @PVDcast. And it's even simulcast through a few other avenues. My good friends at the Scene Snobs and Three Geeks podcast share that feed on Monday nights as well. I can urge you to please go check out 3geeks.ninja to get all of the cool content that the Three Geeks podcast is putting out. And also go over to thescenesnobs.com because they have like 30 different podcasts in their network. Show some love to those guys. They do a lot of great stuff, and they work really hard at their respective brands. So please check them out. Three Geeks Podcast is at threegeeks.ninja, and The Scene Snobs can be found at thescenesnobs.com. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank you once again for checking out this episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous. Stay independent. Stay safe and healthy. Production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.